Okay, kids, you want to come on down the front? I've got a massive challenge for you this morning. Kids, come on down. I've got a few kids. Yep, got a few brave ones coming and joining me. Excellent. Hello, we've got a whole bunch of new ones. Come on down. Come on, you can sit on the floor. Floor's a good safe spot. Hello, how are you? You're not very chatty today. You were very chatty the other day. Have you gone all shy? Aw. All right. How many people remember? You guys won't remember last week, but you guys remember last week? What did we do? We count the cost. Very good. Count the cost. We had to make sure of it. What else did we learn? That you guys were not disciplined. You need discipline. All right? So you guys disciplined today? You count the cost? You're ready to go on two missions? You ready to go on two missions for me? Yes? You're up for that? Yeah? Okay, they're hard missions, but some of you will get reward from these missions. All right? Yes, there's something to do with the pigs. Very good, very good. All right. Now, your first mission. Are you ready to prepare this? You're going on two missions. This is your first mission. Your first mission is to grab a number of pigs, any colors you like, and then go and deliver them throughout the people in the greenhouse. Okay? You can go one or two per family or one per couple. Is that cool? Everyone understand the outline of the mission today? You got the idea? All right, any questions about the mission that you're about to undertake? No questions? All right. Ready, set, go. All right, one per family or two per family or one per couple, or if there's some young adults in the family, they might have one each. Ah, good. Okay, kids, come on down the front again. That's our first mission. Good work. I've got more pigs in the box if we need more later. All right. How'd you go? Was that a good mission? Nice and easy? Are you ready for a harder mission? Are you ready for a harder mission? Okay, here we go. Ready? Now, parents, a quick preface before I send them on this mission. Last week, I really did try to go in the same vein as James with health food and good stuff. But I had two kids crying last week because I handed out health food. So I've backslidden this week. We're going back to lollies and junk food. All right? Oh, smiles. Hey. Hey, good pastor now, not bad pastor. Okay, you ready for this mission? Okay. Somewhere in the greenhouse, I, who got here very early this morning, have hidden 6 chocolate bars and lollipops. Your mission, if you're up for it, is to find them. Ready, set, go. There's only one at the back. I'll give you a clue. There's only one. Oh, that's it. And it's been found. The others are in the front row that never get used. Grab it off. Undo it. Only for kids, Dave, Daniel. Nothing's there. But my Bible's on the floor. All right. Try under the chairs. Hint, hint. Did I stick that one too hard? Okay. There it is. There's one. There's another one. How did we go? Oh, very good. Now, if you don't like that one, my wife loves those flakes. Okay, Norris. Just trying for you, honey. Just trying for you. All right, have we got? Who's got one? Put your hand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sorry, everybody else. You'll have to share. Maybe one lick each. No, I don't think so. All right, grab a seat, guys. All right, now, that's two missions. Two missions you went on. Did you have fun doing those missions? Yeah. When you were doing the missions, were you focused on what you were supposed to be doing? Like when you were handing out the pigs, were you thinking about chocolates? No, you were thinking about handing out the pigs. Great idea. When you were thinking about the chocolates, were you thinking about the pigs? No, you were wondering where the chocolates were. Very good. When you're on a mission, you've got to be about the mission. Now here at this church, we're looking about God's mission, our mission. God's called each of us on a mission. And when we're on the mission, we've got to be focused on what God's called us to do. Just like when you're handing out the pigs or looking for chocolate. We, as God's people, followers of Jesus, have to be about God's mission and focused on what he's got us to do. Let's pray and we'll send you off to Children's Church, off to Frogs and Tadpoles for those that are going up. Father God, thank you for our awesome young people. Thank you, Father, that they too can be a part of your mission in and through this church. We ask, Lord God, that you would watch over them and guide them as they head off to get some great teaching and instruction for some awesome leaders. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all the kids said, amen. All right, off you go, kids. Have a good morning. Have a great morning. Now, as the kids are going off, and just before I get Joanne to come and do our Bible reading, just want to ask you guys a couple of quick questions about God's mission, our mission. You're going to hear that again and again and again through 2017. You'll see it up on the wall. You'll see it in and through songs. You'll see it through poems. You'll see it through sermons. God's mission, our mission. It'll reverberate through this place again and again and again. So when I say God's mission, our mission, what first comes to mind? Hands up. What first comes to mind? God's mission, our mission. The Great Commission, I hear in the background. The Great Commission, very good. Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples. Very good. What else comes to mind? To love. Two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength, and love one another. That's a great mission that God's on about. His desire is for each of us to love him. Amen? Because he loves us. And he wants us to be in that depth of love. That's part of his desire for us. All right? And the other one is that we are to love one another. You read the Bible, you will find that passage again and again and again. Love one another, bear one another, forgive one another. It's there. It's what God's on about. Anyone else? John, you got your hand up? John 3:16. Yeah. God so loved the world. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God is on about his love coming and penetrating our lives and transforming us. God's mission is love in and through our lives, but in and through our community. It's got to be evident. God's not messing about. He's not just singing a song that we can dance to. He's saying this is what you can live your life by is love. And it has to come firstly coming from him coming into our lives and his love flooding our lives. Because I don't know about you, but there are some people I find hard to love. If I try to do it in my own strength, I'm going to fail all the time. God's mission, our mission. What else comes to mind? To serve, absolutely. We are war-wired in one other way. The gifts that God gives us are for us to work in other ways. The gift of service is a massive gift, and God's mission is for us to serve one another. That's a massive one. One other hand over here. Yep. Yeah, prayer and intercession. Yeah, that's a great mission of God. There's so many stories throughout the Bible where prayer was going on and God's mission was taking place. So God's mission is not a simple one-line thing, is it? It is so complex, and we're going to bore down into it all throughout this year and just see what God's mission. And you know what? God's mission, generally speaking, is this big. But specifically speaking for your life will be something specifically just for you. Because the way you are wired, the way God put you together, is just for you. All right? The giftings God puts in your life. The way you relate with some people is so good compared to other people. And other people will do other things way better than you can do. And so we need to let God work in and through us. Let him be the king of the kingdom of God, not us. We're going to bore into this a little bit later in the sermon, but I just wanted to get you thinking. God's mission, our mission. What's it really about? And what will it mean for you personally and individually and for us corporately? Joanne, would you like to come and do the Bible reading, please?
We're reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through to 9 this morning. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. May God help us to understand this reading.
All right. As you've heard me say in that little quick introduction, we're starting our year of God's mission, our mission. And as you've heard Joanne read from Acts chapter 1, that's where we're starting with. All right. In this section of God's Word, we have Luke sharing with us. I like the way that Brendan did it last week with those Bible scholars bringing across those 3 points that he had last week, where Luke is bringing us across a snapshot of the end of Jesus' time and into the start of the early church. Jesus has spent a number of times with the disciples proving to them that he's alive. One of the ways he was doing that was eating with them. As far as I know, not a lot of people who have passed away eat much food. So Jesus is walking around and he's eating with them, he's sharing with them, he's teaching them, and for 40 days he teaches them about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he says some very pertinent things. But let me just jump to the side for a little bit. I'm going to call this protocol number one for God's mission, our mission. Protocol number one. Folks, I got news for you. You're not from a Blues Brothers movie, but you are on a mission from God. You are, each and every one of you. No matter how old, no matter how young, we're all on a mission from God. And the mission has to be the priority. The mission has to be important. If it's important to God, it should be important to us. If it's God's heartbeat, it should be our heartbeat. If it's something God wants to bring into our lives personally or into our church or into our community through his missional heart or his mission, then we need to be aware of that and we need to follow through. Taking a quote from another old movie, you're not in Kansas anymore. This is a new world. You're a part of God's kingdom and God is the king. And as he says to us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. You are a part of God's kingdom and God is the king. And he has a mission for you to be a part of. God's mission, our mission. We're on a job. We're on a mission. This year at Koinonia Life, we're going to continue to bore into what does that mean. We've already had a quick discussion, a bit of a think tank, a little Q&A, and as you saw up, all those different answers that came back. God's mission, our mission, is something that is massive and yet incredibly personal. We're starting with Acts chapter 1, but we're going to go through so many passages and different sections of God's Word. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be an incredible journey, and I want you to all to come along on it with us. A journey missional, a journey of transformation, a journey where we will surrender to his will in our life more and more each day. And I acknowledge that it's his will. Not my will, not Koinonia Life's will, not the leadership team's will, but God's will in each and every one of our lives. So what does this mission mean? What is Jesus calling us to do? Well, in this passage, we've got an amazing section of scripture that is used again and again and again. You hear the words, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the earth. When you hear that, what do you think of? If you're not thinking of a missionary talking to you, I'm not sure where you're going then. It's a missional talk, isn't it? It's something that God uses to speak to us again and again and again. This section of scripture, which we're going to use again next week, but concentrate on this little verse here, is very, very important for us at Koinonia Life. Now, you'll often hear me say, it's not neither or, but both and. Too many times in God's kingdom, we think it's just this is the answer. And I'm telling you what, it's not the answer. If you think that this one little thing is going to be the whole thing that will get your life going, your God is too small. Our God is massive. He is incredible. If you think one little bit, one verse, one passage is something you can live your life on, then your God is too small. God is massive. It's both and. And you need to expand ourselves. We need to expand ourselves to understand what God has for each other and for ourselves and to walk comfortably in that. God is a massive God. He's a big God. His love for us is incredible. And I love his love for this community is massive as well. So I'm going to give to you two types for this one verse. So that is giving you a little bit of an extension as well. When Jesus says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth to the disciples, guess what? He actually meant Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. If you have a look at the disciples, they were his witness first in Jerusalem. Then they went to Judea. Then they went to Samaria. And then, because of some of the things that happened in the world, not always their idea or their plan, unless you talk about what happened in AD 70 as God's plan, the Romans coming through and kicking everybody out of Jerusalem and destroying the temple, and the Christians then going, hey, this is no longer a safe place to stay, we better go elsewhere. And they went elsewhere. If you read about the disciples, not many of them have tombstones in Jerusalem. They went everywhere else to share the good news of Jesus Christ. They went to the other ends of the earth. We only know a little bit about what Paul got up to, a little bit about Peter got up to. Church history was the goal where you'd find out what all the other guys got up to. In my Anglican days, I was a part of St. Bartholomew's Anglican Church. And Bartholomew, saint, taking the gospel. And because he took the gospel to the area that he was called to, and they rejected it and him, he was martyred. So, yes, there is that context to what Jesus is talking about here. But there is another context that we're going to use a lot here at Kiwanis Life. When we talk about Jerusalem, I want you to picture people just like us. People like us, followers of Jesus. People who declare that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. People who say, yep, I want to follow Jesus. I'm still learning this. I'm still pulling it together. I'm still trying to understand this, but I want to be a follower of Jesus. Then part of our goal with working and mission, God's mission with people just like us, because there is an incredible mission for people just like us, isn't there? The in-house ministry, the body ministry. If you look at the spiritual gifts, there's many spiritual gifts that are for the body, for the people who are trying to follow Jesus. We are called to encourage one another. Amen? If you want to be on a mission for God, encourage one another. Build one another up. Spur each other on. If you want to be a mission for God, the next one is to grow. Don't be complacent. Don't throw pity parties. Don't just sit around doing dummy spits. Keep growing in God. Having a desire to learn more about God today than you did yesterday. Growing in God's church is a mission. Challenge one another. I had some great chats with people this week, just over tea and coffee and just hearing each other's heart. And as I hear each other's heart, it challenges me to want to be more and more in love with my God, more and more in love with each other, more and more in love with his word so I can be better following Jesus, to challenge one another, to mentor one another. We have some incredible people inside these four walls who have walked with Jesus many, many years, and you have got so much experience, so much understanding, so much knowledge, so much skill, that don't just hold on to that. Don't just sit on it. Mentor it into young people's lives. And it doesn't have to be, you know, someone who's young, only 16, 17. It can be someone young in the faith that just needs that encouragement and mentoring and building up. To hold each other accountable, that's a big one. That's a big one. There's some scary apps out there. My Bible app's a bit of a scary app because on it, it records when you go and visit it. And if it's your regular place of going and reading the Bible, all my friends can see if I'm reading my Bible. You know? That's a scary app because they can see, oh, Donnie hasn't been to YouVision Bible today. He hasn't done. Oh, he's 3 weeks behind in his devotionals. It's out there in the accountability world. Now, there might be other things. You might want to come and talk to me and say, hey, Donnie, you're still using that app before you come and start praying for me. Oh, Lord, I pray for this backslidden brother who hasn't opened his Bible in 4 weeks. You might want to look into that. But there is a different ways of accountability, isn't there? And we need to be able to hold each other accountable. The next one, Judea, people that are like us and live near us, and yet they're not following Jesus. They live near us. They're like us, but they're not following Jesus. The other afternoon, I got to go to a special thank you afternoon at the surf club. Hence why I'm wearing my surf club shirt today, just to say people like us live near us, but not following Jesus. My surf club is a lot like that. They understand my language. I don't, you know, they don't go in and go, huh, what are you saying, man? I don't understand you. You know, we connect, but they're like me and I'm like them, but they don't follow Jesus. And I got absolutely blown away by being there, not just because I got to meet four other people who I'd never met before and got to tell them about who I was as a pastor and what that meant, and this little old lady who grew up in the Baptist church. And the reason why she grew up in the Baptist church is because it's what you did. At the end of the street was the Baptist church, and mum and dad just sent you to church in those days. Up you go. It's Sunday morning. Go. I need the morning off. Go. Go to Sunday school. And all the kids would walk up the street and they'd go to Sunday school. And she's telling me all about this stuff. And so she's talking to me and she's going, you said you were a Baptist pastor? And I said, yes. And she said, you look very different to the Baptist pastor I remember from my childhood. And I said, but it's okay, I don't dance. And she went, yes, that's good, because that's what they taught us, not to dance. And I said, no, I don't wear makeup either. But it's a great little chat with her about the significance of those days to these days. The other incredible thing on that day was that as I walked in, Nikki, who organized the whole thing, grabbed me and said, I've got a surprise for you. And she pointed over at Trish and Randall and said, they're two of your people. And I went, they're two of my people. And she said, they are so good. And we are blessed to have them a part of what we were doing. And so it did my heart well to go over and say g'day to Trish and Randall, who are in amongst some of my people in a different place who aren't followers of Jesus. And thank you for connecting. Thank you for sharing with those folks. And just grab a few other folk and take them with you. God bless you. It's so cool to see. And now I've got some of my people amongst their people, and they know they're my people. How cool is that? You don't even have to hide. Yeah, they're some of Donnie's crew. They're from the church. They know it. And we can share with them about Jesus. In this area, we need to love. Yeah, we talked about love before. We need to let God's love flow through us into people who don't know Jesus. We need to teach them. We need to teach them about the Bible. Some people are struggling to understand what the Bible's all about. I've given a friend of mine who's inquiring about Jesus. I gave him the YouVersion Bible app, and he downloaded it himself without me. And a week later, he's telling me, he says, Donnie, this Bible's really hard to read. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I'm looking on Facebook every morning, and you put up that verse, and I read it, and I'm struggling to understand what it means. And I went, wow. When you downloaded the app, yes, what version of the Bible did you put in? Oh, whatever it came with. And I went, can I have it, please? And I looked it up, and King James Version. And I went, here's an easier one for you. And I put in NIV. And he went, oh, yeah, I can understand that. That's really cool. Okay, I got that. And then he came over. He and his family came for dinner one night, and we're sitting around, and we're having a food. And he said, I really enjoyed the Bible reading this morning, but there's a few words in it I didn't understand. And I went, oh, has it gone back to King James Version? He said, no, it's still NIV. I even mentioned it to my wife, and she said, oh, you should try NLT. And I went, I said, yeah, NLT is even easier to understand. And I said, give us your phone, NLT. And I gave it back to him, and he went, oh, cool. And I said, so what word was the struggle this morning? And he goes, exalt. What does exalt mean? In church, we know what exalt means. We sing it all the time, don't we? We get it. But I'm telling you what, folks who don't follow Jesus don't get some of our church speak. And so we need to be able to teach and instruct and to reach out to them. We need to see the Holy Spirit work in and through their lives to bring about transformation. We need to see the Holy Spirit work in people that live near us, like us, but not following Jesus, Judea. In Samaria, we will find people who are not like us. They don't live locally. They can live far away. Generally, they are from another culture. But meeting in our culture, you will come across people who speak English, who live in a different culture to yours and mine, who have a totally different understanding of morals and values and life expectancy in the area of what you do with your life. and they will speak English, they will look like you, they will dress like you, but they are in a different culture than you. And they are living on your doorstep, but they're also living around you further afield. Michaela, you're out at King of Roy now. You understand everyone out there? Nope. They're a little bit different, aren't they, these country people? Farm talk. Yep. Yep. So some of the kids are telling you amazing stories about, yeah, we went out on the farm. What'd you do on the day off? Worked on the farm. So it's a different world, isn't it? So a little bit of a culture shock for you in that sense, huh? We've got it in our own backyard. And we need to be aware that there's people of Samaria right around us, people who are not like us. They live locally or far away. Generally, they live within our culture, but they have a different culture that they live and go by. So we need to make sure that we love them. We need to share faith, give them hope, and let grace and forgiveness penetrate their lives. To the ends of the earth, these people are nothing like us in any way, shape, or form. They don't live near us. They don't understand us. They're in a completely cross-cultural understanding. You may find them here on the sunny coast. You may find them in Malawi, Solomon Islands, Fiji, everywhere. But they are people that will take a lot of effort to get to know, because you'll say one thing and they will understand something totally different. I can only explain this very quickly by sharing some of Tim and Mel's stories from Malawi. When we went to Malawi as a team, the ladies had to wear shetengis. They could not wear jeans or shorts. They had to wear these skirt type things, which is just fabric wrapped around them. It was their culture. It was the way you had to do it. If you didn't do it, you caused great offense. Great offense. Tim, communicating one of his first Bible stories, used the analogy of fishing, because these guys were fishermen. They understood fishing. So he grabbed a stick and a piece of line, and he put a little fishy thing on the end of it, and he talked about fishing. Now, how many people understand what he's talking about there? Fishing. Fishing with a rod and reel and catching fish one at a time. You understand? Hello? Any fishermen in the house? You understand? Yeah, okay, cool. Because everyone's looking at me going, what the heck? Yeah, it's fishing rod, line, throw it out, catch one fish at a time. Or if you put two hooks on, possibly two fish at a time. All right, these fishermen didn't have a clue what he's talking about, because they don't use one hook, one line. They use a net. And so he's talking about this, and they're all looking at him going, oh, yeah, Baba, yeah, good word, Baba, yeah. And then 6 months later, when he got to understand their language a little bit more and their culture, he's talking to them and said, so when I did that talk on fishing where I used the stick and the line and the hook and the one fish, and they all went, yeah, Baba, we didn't have a clue what you're talking about. Only a white man would want to catch one fish at a time. The challenge of working with folk from the ends of the earth is real, and it takes a lot of work and effort. There's both of those ways that we work through that passage of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And we'll bring that again and again and again. We're on a mission, and there are going to be people that live near us that are following Jesus, that God has called us and our giftings to encourage and to build up. There are others who we need to reach out to with faith, hope, and love, God's grace, God's mercy. But they're all part of God's mission, and all the different ways of doing it are all part of God's mission. So in just wrapping it up, I want to lay some challenges before you. Firstly, I want to go back to protocol number one. You are on a mission, and it's God's mission. It's not your mission, it's not your plan, it's not your purpose. It's got to be God's plan, God's purpose, and God's way. And you need to fit into what he's got for you, because he is the King of the Kingdom. And we are in it, and we're a part of it. And we acknowledge that Jesus is number one in our life. Remember, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Number two, we've been called to a mission here at Kiwana Life, and we will reach Kiwana. We will reach Queensland, Australia, the ends of the earth, but we'll also reach people just like us, people not like us, people totally different to us, and people outside and inside cultures. Next one is this. It has to be God who leads us. It has to be God who leads you. We all need to hear God's voice. We all need to know that still small voice of God's leading, God's inspiration. My prayer for you and for me is if these are truths from God, that our lives will indeed be transformed by the Holy Spirit, that we will start anew for 2017 to hear God speaking to us loudly and clearly on what he's got for each of us to do. And it'll be all individual. It'll be all incredibly significant. I met with a young guy yesterday afternoon, and he's had a troubled last 2 years. When I say young guy, he's 2 years younger than me. So just give you a bit of a picture. He's teaching at the moment down in Brisbane, but he's finishing up at the end of term one. He's done a lot of foster care work over the years and has taken a bit of a step out of it. And one of the young guys that he did a lot of work with up until 6 months ago has been in 8 different houses in the last 6 months. He's only 13 years old. He's not doing real well with life at the moment. And the department has come back to him and said, we would like you to take this young guy on, and we want you to do it full time. And so he's prayed about it, and he felt in his spirit that part of God's mission for his life was for him to stop working. He's passionate about teaching. He loves his teaching, but he's going to stop teaching, and he's just going to be God's man for this young boy and sow his life into this young boy's life so that this young boy might get to know Jesus. God's mission is different for all of us, and God will call you in different areas and different ways, but you just need to hear that still small voice. Yes, walk ye in it. I am the Lord God Almighty. I will lead you. We are on a mission. I'm on a mission from God. Come and join me. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for what you're about in and through Kiwana Life. I ask, Lord God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, if these words are your words, that you will bring about transformation in each and every one of our lives, that you will speak to us loudly and clearly and guide us by your voice. Father, if you're calling us into areas I know from the way the word is shared into my life, Lord God, and into the way of others' lives, that as you call us, you equip us, you skill us, you are the provider, you're the one who brings provision. We as a church have seen it again and again and again, so we continue to look to you for this area of amazing provision. We ask, Lord God, that your name would be glorified in and through these four walls, but out in our community as we reach out to people who are like us, people who are not like us, people who you love dearly and who you died on a cross for so that they might come into a relationship with you. We pray for this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Now, just before I hand back to Steve and the team, sorry guys, how many people are wondering what the pig's for? Yes, thank you, Linda. That's cool. One person. Two. That's cool. All right. These little pigs came out of a prayer time. No, I didn't get the design from them in a prayer time, but the idea of them came out of a prayer time. I was praying into what James and I have been praying a lot about in the God's mission, our mission. And I remembered back to a number of years ago where Baptist World Aid gave us a challenge as a church. And they said to us for the month of May for us to take up a challenge of giving something up for missions that month. And one of the challenges that the Johnson family, girls, remember this? We did this challenge. And I don't know about you, but the Johnson family, we love ice cream. I love ice cream, and they have to come with me and they suffer. Okay, Cynthia doesn't like ice cream. All right, I like ice cream. And so often I'll go, who's up for ice cream? And they'll go, there's no ice cream in the fridge. No worries, let's go gelati and pay 400% more for the ice cream than we should. Let's do that. And so off I'll go and I'll pay $20 for ice cream. And it's like, man, I put more on my plate when I'm at home. But anyway, so what we did that month was instead of going out to gelati, we would grab that $20 and put it into a little pig or whatever we had at that time and say, that's going to missions. We're going to sacrificially give up ice cream on those spur of the moments and put that aside for what God's doing in the area of missions. And so my challenge to us as a church is for us, if we're going to be on a mission, we need to be focused about the mission. It's like I was sharing with the kids. When those kids were handing out the little pigs, that's all they were doing. They weren't thinking about anything else. And trust me, when they were looking for the chocolates, they were what pigs? You know, the pigs were gone. It was the chocolate. Donnie said there's chocolate here somewhere. Let's find it. You know, I'm surprised some of you weren't hurled out of your chairs to get those chocolates. All right? And we need to be that intent about when we're on the mission that God's called us to do. Go, okay, what has God called us to do? This is the mission. I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to be walking in this mission. This is what God's called me to do, and I'm going to be doing it. And so what we're going to do is for about 10 months of this year is give us a challenge every month to put something aside. Now, your way of doing it might be just throw your change in there. When you come home each day, you get that heavy wallet. You just empty your change into that and say, okay, that's my little bit of extra that I'm going to put in towards missions for this month. We as a church will continue to do our tithing to missions as always, but this is just something a little bit above and beyond. But what we're going to do each month is go a little bit different to what our normal missions are. So, for example, we may not do a special month for Tim and Mel. We might have something else in vogue at that time. First month of February, it starts this week. So everyone gets to keep their little pick. Month of February, what do you think would be a good thing for us to throw some coins towards? Youth pastor, thank you very much. Anyone say amen to that? Amen. All right, so first monthly challenge is the youth pastor. Any few dollars to go in towards that? You like that idea, Diego? Yeah, happy treasurer, good man. Any few coins, any challenges you want to give yourself, okay, for the month of February, I will give up ice cream. Johnson family, sorry, no ice cream for February. Okay, so no ice cream for Donnie in February. All the money that I'm going to spend on ice cream, I should put $50 in there right away. is going to be gone because it's going towards that. It's still spending it, but it's going towards something else instead of my waistline. Does that make sense? Any questions on the pig? Yes, James. Yeah, and checks and all that sort of stuff. Very good. Good point out. So that's the pig. Now, you can do it independently or you can do it as a family. We had a lot of fun doing it as a family. That's why we're giving them out. If you want to do it as a family, go for it. But also in March, we've got another challenge. I've already got the March one done, and it's because we're going Jerusalem, Judea. And so I haven't got Samaria worked out yet. So maybe if you've got some ideas of other groups that you can talk about, then come and do that. And we'll give that, and then we'll bring that money in, and Diego can send off the money to that organization as we go throughout the year. Does that sound like a good idea? A bit of fun? A little bit of a challenge for the families? The kids can be involved, and we can all be a part of just throwing something aside for God's mission in and through our lives.